The explosive new film, Flynn, Deliver the Truth, Whatever the Cost, exposes secrets behind the government's takedown of General Michael Flynn.
Flynn knew what the intel world had been up to.
He ordered the first audit of the use of contractors. This set off alarm bells.
He told the truth. He was the most dangerous person for Donald Trump to hire. They had to get rid of Flynn.
Flynn, Deliver the Truth, Whatever the Cost. Available now. Watch it today. Go to SalemNow.com. SalemNow.com.
We are back for the final hour of the show. Cannot believe it. It has gone so very fast, and phone lines are full. I was sorry to see Nick drop off. He said he had the perfect answer to the question that all of the mainstream media talkers seem so obsessed with, whether Donald Trump won the election. That's the thing, that the gotcha question, they say, that will take down Republicans here in the state of Colorado. He said he had the perfect answer. He went away, probably because we're going to a guest now. And now his line is full. So, Nick, man, if you do have the perfect answer, maybe send it in on the 710 CanUS text to studio. Love to see it. Or send me your number. I'll have the producer call you, because I was really looking forward to that. Ron and Mary and Rose, sit tight, because right now I'm so pleased to welcome in my good buddy Trevor Loudon. New movie coming out. Big, big deal. Trevor joins us now. Good morning, sir.
Hey, Randy, how you doing?
I am doing well. It's been so long since we've had you on the show.
Yeah, it's been a while, but I've been busy. I'm sure you have too.
I guess doing a movie is sort of all-consuming, huh?
Yeah, well, it's the bulk of the work is being done. Now it's in the sort of final production house stages. So really, most of us can sit back while the boffins do their bit. But it's exciting. It's going to be a stunning movie, I think.
Yeah, I can't wait. It's called Enemies Within the Church. And, boy, you're not talking about Satan, are you? You're talking about people who are doing damage inside the church.
Well, that's sort of Satan's representatives of the church. But what we're talking about is the Marxist infiltration of American Christianity. And it's been going on for 100 years, but now it's reaching its peak, and it's moving the churches way to the left, which is moving the culture to the left and the politics to the left. So this affects everybody, whether, you know, whatever faith you come from or no faith at all. This is a massive deal in America right now.
Give people just a little bit of your background. We're getting the show is just growing incredibly, and sir, for people who may not be familiar with who you are, let's talk about that for just a minute, some of your prior work, and then we'll dig in a little deeper to the new movie and how folks can get a hold of it.
Sure. Okay, Trevor Loudon is my name. I'm from Christchurch, New Zealand, but I've lived in the States for several years now, and my big deal is in examining the radical left, the communist movement, the socialists, the terrorists, and how they impact mainstream American politics. And we're seeing that now tremendously. We're in a revolution right now, and I've been documenting that for some years. You know, I exposed a lot of the communist background of Barack Obama. I did a 2016 movie, Enemies Within, and that was seen about 2 million times on Amazon Prime, I think, and it said there was about 100 members of the U.S. House and 25 members of the U.S. Senate who were so involved in with radical communist groups, Islamist groups, anti-American groups. They couldn't pass a background check to drive a school bus, but they're running virtually every major committee in the Congress. So, yeah, that's my background. I've done movies, written books. I lecture all the time all over the country and do lots of radio interviews.
Well, and here's the thing that I really appreciate about your work. You are a scholar, and you spend tremendous amount of time in libraries, in archived records. When you write a book, when you call someone out for particular positions or actions, you link to the source material, often their own actions, their own words, their own speeches or whatever. And to my knowledge, I'm in the middle of this big defamation case, Eric Coomer of Dominion voting against Trump and others. We had 2 days of hearing today that we've been talking about biased media coverage and the way that local talkers, mainstream media, just lop on to the mainstream media, you know, message that comes out of these things. But you've never been sued for defamation with any of your accusations, have you?
No. Look. If you're going to come to a foreign country and accuse large numbers of the leaders of that country of being traitors and working with foreign agents and working with communists, etc., to bring down the constitution, you got to be pretty darn sure of your facts. So I'm very rigorous. I do a lot of, as you said, do a lot of archival research. I'm always researching. So when I call someone out like Joe Neguse or Jason Crow from, you know, from your state, you know, for the radicals that they are, well, you know, I can back it up.
Without a doubt. Just side note real quick, we had a U.S. Senate candidate, Republican U.S. Senate candidate Eric Odland on this morning. Have you ever done any digging into Michael Bennett?
Yeah, I have. He's connected to some, like, he's one of the more less communist-connected senators, if you could say. But he's still connected to some pretty anti-American groups. But he's not a real bad one on the scale.
No, the thing that makes him bad is he's just done nothing during his two terms. He let the Bureau of Land Management get away, Space Force get away, all Donald Trump had brought here into Colorado. And you just can't point to one piece of significant legislation as he nears the end of a second six-year term as U.S. Senator for Colorado, that he's accomplished, which does create an opening for Republicans that I'm very, very excited about.
Yeah, he's a do-nothing, get-along-with-a-Democrat senator, but he hasn't got a lot of initiative himself. He's not a leader. He's just a reliable vote for the Democratic left in the Senate.
Well, we'll have you back on to talk about some of our political opponents as we get closer to primary season and then election season. Right now, we're here to talk about the new movie, which will be world premiering here very soon. Talk to me about that.
Yep, November 2nd, Sioux City, Iowa. The event is open to the public. You know, I'll be wearing a tuxedo for the first time in my life. and so it's going to be a black tie affair anyway. So, yeah, it's going to be a big event. This has been 3 years in the making. We've been doing interviews all over the country, massive amounts of research. And we're putting out what I consider the best movie on contemporary American Christianity and by extension, the culture and the politics that's ever been put out there. It's 2 hours long, and it's just, you don't want to miss a second of it. From start to finish, it's mic drop after mic drop after mic drop.
Are people going to be able to get access to it if they can't make their way to Iowa for the movie house premiere?
Doug, we're going to be live streaming it, I believe, on the night, and from November 2nd, it'll be available on pay-per-view. But just go to our website, Enemies Within the Church. And we'll have DVDs out after a couple of weeks. You know, there's a few supply chain issues with that. But, you know, we will have the DVDs out there. We'll be doing premieres in other states as well, you know, showings in plenty of other states, probably including Colorado, but definitely Florida and Indiana and Idaho and other places. So we aim to roll this out over the next few months all over the country. And also to dub it into Spanish and Portuguese for the Brazilian market and French and German. Because what we present there is the problems we present, the infiltrators we expose, the similar things are happening virtually all over the world, all over the developed world, the Western world, that the communist Marxists are getting into the churches and corrupting the religious life of the country.
I know that your movie, Enemies Within the Church, and the website, enemieswithinthechurch.com, is where people can learn more and find out how they can watch it when it debuts. But you've taken the historical, the evidence-based, what people themselves have said, you know, the educational approach to this. Let's talk a little bit about the spiritual, because I have really been sensing, and I believe me, I'm no I'm no prophet by any stretch of the imagination, but I feel like we are in a great awakening here in the United States of America, that we had to get to this point, to this brink in society in order to wake people up. And from what you see it, you know, in school boards, Southwest Airlines, people pushing back against vaccine mandates, two brave Democrat senators standing up against these massive socialist and election takeover bills that are being promoted right now. I think we're in the midst of a great awakening. You've been in the midst of searching out what's going on in the churches. Do you have any response to that?
Look, I absolutely believe that, you know, the wheat and the chaff are being separated right now. You know, the lockdowns showed people which churches were worth supporting and which churches were not. You know, the ones who just buckled under and did what the government told them to do with no constitutional authority whatsoever, clearly they are not the leaders for the future. The churches that stayed open are very active and very vocal. They are doing their job and they are attracting a lot of people. They're doing very well. And we're seeing this right through society. You know, you've had millions of moms and dads sitting at home for a year reading their kids' school textbooks and are horrified by what they read. They're seeing their cities burned down by the Chinese front group Black Lives Matter. You're seeing an election stolen right in front of you. So people are finally waking up to the fact that we could lose this country. In fact, if we don't do something, we will lose this country. So spiritually, politically, culturally, I'm seeing groups rise up. It's like the Tea Party all over again, but bigger and a much younger demographic. We don't hear about it quite as much because the media doesn't publicize it, but it's happening spiritually, culturally, politically all over the country. I see it everywhere I go.
And we see it internationally as well, the massive protests in places like France and elsewhere. And we see the results of allowing government to take over this kind of control in your native neighbor down there, Australia, right now. Could you have believed even 5 years ago that Australia would be in the position it is with police and mandates and all of that?
Yeah. Well, this is the consequence of electing Marxists. You know, when times are easy, you can warn people all you like about the consequence of electing Marxists, like they have in Australia, or might the New Zealand Prime Minister Jacinda Ardern, or half of your Congress and half and a quarter of your Senate. You know, it doesn't matter. You think when times are good, everything's right. Who cares? Doesn't matter. When you actually see that when they've actually got the power to do what they want, when they're shutting down your churches, your businesses, when they're brainwashing your kids, when they're rioting on your streets, when they're stealing your country in front of your eyes, then people realize the consequences of not paying attention. Sometimes you have to almost lose something before you actually appreciate what you have.
Trevor Loudon, enemieswithinthechurch.com. The movie premiere is coming up. Trevor, do you have any plans to be in Colorado in the near or somewhat distant future?
Yeah, I will probably come to Colorado for some showings of the movie. You know, it's not hard to tempt me up there. And the big secret is that your winters are very mild up there. You know, I'm not supposed to tell everybody else that so they come to your state. But yeah, it's great all year round up there, and I love the people. I just love come to Colorado. It's good.
All right. Well, I'll look forward to that. We'll certainly have you back on. I know that you'll keep me posted about everything that's going on with the movie so I can share it with our audience. Hope you have a great weekend. Yeah. My friend, it's really good to talk to you.
Great. Thanks, Randy. And thanks for giving us the opportunity. This is a great movie, and I'm not saying that lightly.
Well, and just very, very important topic. People are really, they're feeling it in their bones, and it's time to see some of the truth about why we are on this precipice as we speak. So God bless you, my friend. Thanks so much.
Thank you, Randy. Bye.
All right. And we've got full lines. I want to finish the clips from this first 9 news story. There's only a couple more of them left. So let's wrap this up with some commentary on the Eric Coomer versus Donald Trump Gateway Pundit et al. Hearing that occurred this week.
A courtroom in Denver this week is the center of the debate over the big lie threatening America's elections, the conspiracy theory that the election was rigged against former President Trump by Antifa and Denver-based Dominion Voting Systems.
So that was a lie. Case is not about whether there is election fraud, whether we have integrity in our elections, whether audits should be stopped by every legal means, whether courts should be determining that there is no standing for people who want to just take a look at the ballots, the chain of custody, the signatures, the where did they come from. The idea of canvassing should be a basic part of the system. This case is simply about whether it's okay to report on another story and how much, you know, background, how much in-depth digging do you have to do when you talk to someone that sounds credible, that was involved in the story before election fraud became a thing, before the election came into dispute. It's just pure misrepresentation for headlines, which is why I called Channel 9 a political hackery outfit in court, to the displeasure of the judge, I will admit.
A former Dominion employee, Eric Coomer, is suing to clear his name, suing the Trump campaign, and suing Joe Altman, the conservative leader from Douglas County who first made that Dominion election rigging claim. Politics guy Marshall Zellinger is along, so tell me, Marshall, will the people promoting the big lie finally have to put up some evidence?
And this is something that I just loved. On mainstream media shows, people behind TV cameras, people behind microphones made this case. They tried to say that all of these people who are claiming election fraud, now's their opportunity, but they never show up with any evidence. They don't have the evidence. If they had it, this would be the time to present it. No, it isn't. This is a particularly different conversation that's going on right now with anti-SLAPP, and Ron has a question about anti-SLAPP. Ron and Conifer, we're up near the break, so make it quick. Good morning.
I have never heard of the term of an anti-SLAPP hearing. Could you explain that?
Sure. SLAPP is something that started in California. The Colorado State Legislature adopted it a couple, 2 or 3 years ago. It's so new that we don't even really have any Colorado court guidance about it. Very, very little anyway. And SLAPP stands for Strategic Litigation Against Public Participation. This was a lefty idea, and of course, we who are defending now against Eric Coomer love having the anti-SLAPP provisions. Strategic litigation against public participation, in other words, big companies, and that could include Dominion, using their wealth and their power to go around and knock people out of commenting on something that affects them. As you may know, the Department of Justice has opened a RICO investigation into Dominion for sending around all these letters to silence people who've been talking about Dominion. And so this is an early stage in a defamation case that allows a court to determine whether the plaintiff, in this case Eric Coomer, has enough evidence to overcome all of the protections, the constitutional protections, First Amendment, the presumptions that have been created on your First Amendment rights. Like if you're a public figure, you've got to prove actual malice. In Colorado, if it's a matter of public importance, you have to prove actual malice in making those statements. And so this is an early stage to test whether the claims by Eric Coomer can get past that threshold. And so that's what this particular hearing this week was limited to. Does that make sense?
Okay, and so I'm just curious, what were the motions titled that are the basis for this hearing?
Let's see. There were motions to dismiss based on the anti-SLAPP statute that the plaintiff cannot. And by the way, for all of the know-it-alls who talk about this garbage all the time inaccurately, the evidence, the statements of Eric Coomer are taken as true for purposes of this particular stage in the proceedings. The evidence is taken in the light most favorable to the plaintiff. He doesn't have to prove that his evidence is accurate. He has to prove that he's got enough evidence to overcome all of these protections that we all enjoy in expressing our opinion, in reporting on stories, etc., etc. Does that help?
Okay, yeah, does one more thing. Is this a federal or state statute we're talking about?
It's a state statute. Started in California. Colorado adopted it. Very exact. In fact, we argued a lot of California case law.
Okay.
In support of our positions on why Coomer doesn't get past the anti-SLAPP statute.
So even if he does, this is not your last motion to dismiss.
No, no. In fact, other motions to dismiss the entire case outside of the anti-SLAPP have already been filed. And for those who don't get knocked out at the anti-SLAPP stage, then those will be the next round of hearings and actual evidence gathering and an opportunity for us to challenge the evidence of Eric Coomer, which right now at this stage is taken as though it's true.
Right.
All right.
Very good. Thank you.
Ron, you're welcome. Thanks for waiting. Really do appreciate it. Ron's line is open, 303-696-1971. Rose and Mary, we will get to your calls when we come back. And we've got another round of this 9 News reporting to go through. I'll also give you my very quick positions on Prop 119 and 20 and Amendment 78, so get your pens ready. We'll do all that next on Wake Up with Randy Corcoran, 710 KNUS. We're back. It's 11:29. Got callers on the line. Let's get to a couple of them. Then I want to finish my conversation about the 9 News coverage of our Eric Coomer v. Donald Trump, Gateway Pundit, etc. hearing. We'll go to Rose in Denver first. Rose, good morning.
Good morning, Randy. How are you, dear?
Oh, when I said Rose and Mary, who I both have on the line, I didn't know I'd first pull up Rosemary. How are you, my dear?
Well, doing well. Busy as always, you know.
Good. We've got limited time. We will definitely have you back. Tell folks what you and I are going to do on, what was it, November 13th?
Yes, November 13th at 1 o'clock in the afternoon. You and I, and you know I'm a liberal, so I have both sides of the question here, are going to do a presentation on Roe v. Wade. And the reason we're doing this, there's all this hoo-ha about what's going on in Texas and across the nation on abortion rights. And so far, practically no one I hear on the news has it right. So
fascinating. So
We're going to do a non-political, non-religious presentation.
You're a lawyer, and so we're gonna bring the legal perspective to it, and you and I are gonna have to talk a little bit ahead of time because it'll be hard. I think it's such a politicized issue to keep that out of it. But 1 o'clock after the show on Saturday, November the 13th, where will people need to go if they want to join us for this presentation?
Wheat Ridge United. It's on 38th and Wadsworth in Wheat Ridge.
All right. Well, I can certainly get there by the end of the show, so that's okay. 38th and Wadsworth. You dropped out there a little bit. Wheat Ridge United Methodist Church?
Yes.
Beautiful. Rose, we will have you back to talk more about this. I'm not going to be on next week, but the week after, let's have some conversation, and we'll promote this some more when I get back on the air.
Well, absolutely. It's a very important question, and no matter which side you're on. And as a very, very quick, for instance, you're going to be shocked, but I'm going to agree with you on the media presentation of what's going on, because the Supreme Court did not uphold Roe v. Wade in the recent Supreme Court decision not to hear the case in Texas.
Yeah, absolutely not.
It was a totally different situation.
Yep.
And a totally different decision.
It's a great point, Rose, and we will talk about it more. I just want people to mark their calendar for Saturday, November 13th at 1 p.m., Wheat Ridge United Methodist Church, 38th and Wadsworth. Rose and I will present best we can, the non-politicized look at what's really going on with Roe v. Wade, and I really look forward to that. Thanks for waiting, and thanks for weighing in this morning.
Have a good day, dear.
You too. And you know what she said is just like what we get about the election cases. All we get is misrepresentation about what's really said and what's really going on. So before I get to another phone call, let me just finish the first news report about the Coomer v. Trump anti-SLAPP hearing that occurred this week. This was from Wednesday night, and this is what led, well, you've heard the part that led to me standing up in court and angering the judge a little bit by referring to Nine News as a political hackery organization.
Yes and no, because this is really about Eric Coomer. And instead of proving that the big lie was a lie, it's all about Coomer. He needs to prove that the people and the groups that he's suing lied about him and what they say he did, and that they did so with reckless disregard for the truth. What was said about him started with Colorado's Joel Altman, who started a conspiracy theory for which no proof has been provided.
It's just a flat-out lie. No proof has been provided. The conspiracy theory that Joe supposedly started is that he was on this call, and he provided contemporaneous notes. You can decide whether they were really contemporaneous. He provided, as I recall, a snapshot of the search he did after he got concerned about this Eric from Coomer's statement. He was not looking for Coomer or election fraud when he got into this call. And I guess part of the thing is he has refused to give his source how he got into this Antifa call, because he says that it will put that person at risk. So it's been easy, and I think the judge has ruled that he's not credible on that issue because he won't give up the source. Up, and I just killed that one. Well, let's do that. Let's get to Mary, since she's been waiting for almost an hour. I'll give you my rundown on Prop 119, 120, and Constitutional Amendment 78, and then we'll spend the final segment of the show going through the Thursday night edition of Nine News, commenting on our case. Mary, good morning.
Good morning. I just have a quick comment. This morning I was voting my ballot and noticed the return envelope is very unusual. It looks like you must sign it two times. Once for the voter affidavit, and then another box that says voter signature required. I think people might miss that. I don't know if that's the instructions. Don't indicate. They say you must sign the voter affidavit, and then they show a box below that with your signature. And I think people may sign only the box and not the voter affidavit, therefore disqualifying their vote.
Well, thank you, Mary. People need to read those instructions very, very carefully and make sure your vote counts by following them to a T. I really appreciate you waiting to weigh in with that, Mary. Thank you very much.
Bye.
Bye-bye. Texter writes in, there's no source for the Antifa call because it's made up. These kind of texters, of course, just never want to call the show, 303-696-1971. But, okay, you can say that. It's a legitimate, it's a reasonable position to take, especially if you are a doubter. But there's an awful lot of interesting things that have come out of it, including, you know, Eric Coomer's denial of being an Antifa activist or having posted all of the social media that was found from him, and then later having to admit that it was his. It's very, very curious to have someone with those really wildly left views in such an important position in the company that has machines in, what is it, 40 of our states, election machines in 40 of our states. So after the second day of hearing concluded, Channel 9 got busy again.
This photo from court today shows Coomer's team playing recorded testimony from Trump campaign attorney Rudy Giuliani. These last 2 days have focused on Coomer's team proving it has enough evidence to go to trial and lawyers for defendants like Giuliani and Altman trying to get the case tossed. Altman was in court here at the city and county building yesterday, not today. Instead, he was on a podcast criticizing the judge who has his fate in her courtroom.
There are good judges out there. This is not one of them. This judge is corrupt. This judge marched in an Antifa protest in June of 2020.
Now, again, what you'll hear from these guys, no evidence. And those are strong words from Joe Altman. And the only thing that I've seen is a Facebook post or a social media post from a Marie Moses supporting a left-wing political activity. But you know what? A good judge can be a left-winger. A good judge can be a right-winger. A good judge has to prove they're a good judge, and this one's brand new, and so we'll have a great opportunity over the years to see if this is a good judge. But I'll tell you what, my experience in just watching her work over the last couple days, setting aside whatever political leanings you might want to ascribe to her, is she managed a very complicated courtroom and a massive amount of detail and context and evidence and information and competing interests very, very well. Some of the things that Joe Altman has talked about that are concerning, and I've mentioned this, it's all public record, so I don't have any problem with it. This judge was a brand new judge when she was appointed to this case. And when she came on, she overturned the ruling of a 20-year trial judge who had said, based on the anti-SLAPP statute, which is designed to lower costs, address these defamation constitutionally protected rights issues early in a case without a ton of discovery and a ton of money. And after being fully briefed, motions and responses and replies and legal briefs, the first judge said, no, there will be no depositions or discovery in this case. Where it's not, that's for those people who advance to trial after we make this initial assessment under the anti-SLAPP statute. And the new judge, when she came on in the first status conference as we neared the end, as I recall, she invited on her own. Nobody asked her to reconsider the decision. But on her own, she invited, if anyone would like me to reconsider that decision, I will entertain a motion. So, of course, the plaintiffs filed a motion. It was granted. And so we were into all these lengthy depositions. And then with the depositions, 3 hours for each defendant were allowed and each corporate entity. But we had to file motions to get permission to depose Eric Coomer. And when that happened, his deposition was limited to 2 hours. His deposition was sealed by the court. I don't recall any motion being filed to seal the deposition. Now, it was subsequently unsealed, and I encourage you to go watch it. See what you think if there are reasonable suspicions about Eric Coomer. But people can certainly question, why some of those decisions were made. And so it's not unfair to talk about it. What's unfair is for Nine Snooze, the political hackery outfit, to say, absolutely no evidence. He didn't say any more. Well, he said a lot more, but you will never hear about it on Nine News.
He did not elaborate on what he meant besides what he said. No additional information about a judge and an Antifa protest. The claim he made about Coomer, however, if this continues to trial, Altman may need to provide additional proof besides, here's what I heard he said, it's true, trust me, end of story. Again, Coomer has to prove, however, that what was...
See, this commentary on Altman is just BS, because these folks, the plaintiff's lawyers, the Coomer lawyers, are monitoring all of the social media and podcasts and public statements of Joe Altman. And Nine News has easy access and is probably keeping their eye on those as well, because they report on them from time to time when Joe says something that they can spin to fit their leftist political hackery narrative. But for them to say, well, he didn't offer anything else, it's so easy to tie that into a news bite and then act as though it's true. When anybody who's following this case closely and draw your own conclusions about the decisions on sealing only the Coomer's deposition and then unsealing it, not sealing any of the other depositions for any of the defendants, about the overturning of the discovery issue. None of that stuff is ever talked about. But I will talk about the rest of this story. I didn't realize we were already up against the final break of the show. We run out of time so often around here. I just want to finish the conversation and encourage people. The end of this hearing was extraordinary. And if you've never seen the HBO documentary Kill Chain, we're going to talk about some of that. Eric Coomer's own words played in the courtroom as part of the defense closing. The people who were supporting our side of this preliminary argument about anti-SLAPP and what rights do people have to report on stories, how much work do they have to do to verify those sources, et cetera, et cetera. We're going to wrap all of that up as we wrap up the show next on 710 KNUS. All right, final segment of the show. Won't be here next week. Sort of disappointed about that, but man, am I looking forward to the gala event at the Claremont Institute in Huntington Beach, California. They moved it out of L.A. because of the COVID restrictions and just making it virtually impossible to, I mean, just imagine the economic harm going on in cities like this. All they had to do was move it to Orange County, Huntington Beach, beautiful hotel there, going to be an opportunity for me to meet and spend some time with and share in the events honoring of Florida Governor Ron DeSantis. And by the way, if you want to see how a state that believes in freedom and believes in human rights properly and safely and effectively deals with this virus and all of the changes that the virus goes through and, you know, making the old versions of vaccines less useful and on and on and on, how they're keeping their people safe without infringing on their autonomy, on their rights, without imposing vaccines that can, you know, rip them to shreds, like my client and friend Jose Manriquez, who, by the way, you heard about him on this show. You may have seen our interview on Fox and Friends a couple of Thursdays ago. Couldn't walk after taking the vaccine, falls down, his leg goes out from under him, can't carry his four children to bed at night. Just all of that horrible, horrible stuff that's happened to that man who had a bad case of COVID last year and beat it. He had all the symptoms of a stroke last Friday night. And, no reason to suspect that he was inclined to have something like that happen to him. He seems okay. I know he doesn't agree. When I talk to him, he sounds like normal. He doesn't think he sounds normal. He's made it clear that he wants his story out there, so he does not object to us sharing it. But, Ron DeSantis has handled this in a different way. I look forward to spending some time with him next week, which will cause me to be away from you. Dr. Matt Dunn will hold down the fort on the show, so that'll be a terrific Saturday. And then I'll be back the Saturday after, and we'll sort of pick up where we left off. And then Monday, man, if you weren't here earlier, Jeff Hunt was on. The Centennial Institute is bringing Jack, oh man, I'm going to try and say his name right this time, Jack Posobiec. I think that's how it's said, Jack Posobiec, to town. And I get to meet those guys, have some dinner before the big event at the Centennial Institute, no charge. And Jack will be talking about all that he's learned and heard inside of Antifa. Some of this went on in our trial. Well, Antifa is just an idea. It's not an actual organization. How do you get into an Antifa call, something that doesn't exist? Oh, sigh is all I can say. But I hope to see you out there on Monday. That will be absolutely terrific. So let's hear a little bit more of this Nine News propaganda.
Said about him in that supposed call was false and that it was done with actual malice, not that the entire election rigging conspiracy was a lie. Kyle, the courtroom is still going on right now. This is the last day, and I don't think there's going to be a decision from the judge. It's possible she could determine that some of the defendants are thrown out of the case, that they've proven, hey, you're not going to say we defamed you. I think she's going to take some time to go through all the evidence before we hear much of that, though.
Yeah, there's a lot more to do before the court starts to render a decision. Because of the short, we only had 2 days and limited amount of time for each side, there were a lot of things that sort of had to be tabled, like objections to the admissibility of evidence and the use of experts and last-minute surprises that, from my perspective, I argue, came from only one side, the plaintiff's side. Many of those things now, they're going to be written, filings filed, and I think there's about a 30-day window on getting some things done before the judge even has an opportunity to make this decision. But I just loved the closings that went on. And part of the closings included the 2019, well before the election, 2019 HBO documentary Kill Chain, The Cyber War on America's Elections. It was a phenomenal documentary. And I haven't watched it yet, just from what I've read about it, now knowing and seeing that it was used in our hearing Man, oh man, the left was reporting on the danger of utilizing these machines in our elections long before this became a thing. And now, of course, because Republicans are calling it out, because Trump supporters are calling it out, you can't talk about it anymore. I highly suggest you find Kill Chain, the cyber war on America's elections. See what Eric Coomer from Dominion had to say. He was played at his own plaintiff's hearing this week in court, and very, very, very powerful stuff. I guess I just got reminded that I haven't, and thank you, Mr. and Mrs. or Mr. or Mrs. McTexter, I haven't talked about the ballot issues. And since I won't be here next week, I need to at least give you my quick perspective on them. There's a no and two yeses. So let's start with the no on Proposition 119. That's the new state marijuana tax. I think they started at only 5% only, but it can go up within a number of years to as much as 15%, as I recall. See if I've got the, I had done a little cheat sheet on that. Anyway, it's a big no on Prop 119. Some you'll hear people arguing, even some people that I really respect, Republicans, people who approach life from a conservative perspective, are supporting LEAP, the Learning Enrichment and Academic Progress Bill, proposition, or not a bill, but Proposition 119. It's the LEAP proposition. It's a strong no for me because, first of all, anytime they want to take money for the children, you gotta really worry about that. You know where that money winds up. You know how it winds up getting misused. But this is terrible. This is where the governor appoints a group of decision makers to talk about how this money, this massive tax increase on pot smokers, I understand, doesn't impact me, probably doesn't impact you, but how it's going to be just a group of people who can make the decision, unelected, unaccountable, a board of authority of nine selected by the governor, who once selected can then self-select and replace themselves. It's just no way for the people to get access to what they're doing. And we know that when you give unlimited resources to especially leftists, and they're going to decide about after-school programs and who gets assisted and what it takes to qualify, absolutely not. The others are pretty easy. Prop 120 is a great big yes. That's a reduction in property tax. There's no downside to it. Vote yes on Prop 120. And then Amendment 78. This is great. Right now, a huge amount of the budget, of the money that flows into the state of Colorado is directed and dictated how this money gets spent by the Attorney General and the Treasurer. And this is going to take that power away and allow or require that that money that comes in, and the bill says, or the proposition, the amendment language says, all monies that come into the state of Colorado will now have to be directed through the legislature. So, you know, if you've got a left-wing legislature, you're going to have some bad outcomes. But at least instead of having two people with that much power in the state, the legislature will have to make the decision about this massive amount of money that comes into our state. And especially in the state house, you get to hold them accountable every 2 years. People are going to have to think very carefully about how they vote to spend money. And so I am a no on Prop 119, a yes on Prop 120, and a yes on Amendment 78. And I won't be here next week to talk about it. We'll just have to see what the results are and reminisce about that then. So here's a little bit more from Channel 9.
In a way, you will have evidence, but it's what's not on trial here, it's not the big lie that's on trial. It's simply somebody, one person saying, you dragged me through the mud and I'm going to sue you for it. And all that person has to do is prove how that happened, not that the entire thing, the big lie, came to be. So there's going to have to be a court case perhaps somewhere about the entire big lie. We want to see a definitive answer at the end about election rigging conspiracy theories.
Yeah, just that propaganda-like language is what gave me such great pleasure to stand up in court on Thursday morning and refer to Channel 9 as a news propaganda outfit. It was a pleasure. All right, that's it for the show. Matt Dunn will be here next week for me. I want to remind you to always remember, and please never, ever forget, God loves you. So do I. There's a great awakening going on. Don't give up your freedom. Stay tuned.
Three-star general Michael J. Flynn, head of the Pentagon Intelligence Agency, knew all the government's dirty secrets.
He was one of the most respected generals in the military.
Flynn knew what the intel world had been up to. He understood its funding.
He ordered the first audit of the use of contractors. This set off alarm bells.
The explosive new documentary, Flynn, Deliver the Truth, Whatever the Cost, and covers the facts behind this scandal.
Flynn told the truth. He was the most dangerous person for Donald Trump to hire.
I find out the worst enemy that I'm going to face in my life is right here in America. They took my assessment and they wanted me to change it. And I was like, I'm not changing it.
They had to get rid of Flynn.
With in-depth interviews, archival footage, and never-before-seen personal records of the man behind the headlines.
I just felt like I was drowning.
Flynn, Deliver the Truth, Whatever the Cost. Available now. Watch it today. Go to SalemNow.com. SalemNow.com.